Australia Overnight, Pat Panetta on Australia Overnight, and it's Christmas time, and we've got a medical practitioner and author of Happy Gut, Healthy Weight, Dr. Arun Dia joins us now. Hi there, Doctor.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us this morning. Now, is it a good or a bad time to talk about food when it's Christmas? Because it is a time to indulge and enjoy food. Are we being party poopers talking about, you know, keeping an eye on your waistline at this time of year, or is it the right time of year?
Well, I think that it's pertinent that you ask. Food is so important to, you know, human beings as such. Food actually connects us all in societies and cultures, in families and all of that. So I think it's never a bad time to talk about food. But what is more important is that, you know, as the famous saying goes, that we eat to live, not live to eat. So I think in times of festivities like this, yes, when, you know, a little bit of indulgence is absolutely reasonable and we kind of justify it with, you know, the festivities that are going on and this the social commitment that we all have.
Yes.
I think it's very important to understand that we can all do that some little thing which does not come, like indulgence does not come at a heavy price. Because if this indulgence continues, it's very easy to get into those wrong habits, which can lead to long-term regret. So that's my view on it anyway.
Okay, so if you don't do the right thing, or at least keep it in mind over the festive season, you could set yourself up for bad habits leading right into the new year.
I think so, because, see, as they say, you know, it is very easy to get into the habit of, okay, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to be on a strict routine or on a strict diet. And I'm not a big fan of diets and all that. Why? I've seen the scourge of obesity over the last over two decades that I've been in medical practice. And just for the information of your audience, I'm a gastrointestinal and a weight loss surgeon. So I deal with gastrointestinal surgery. And people come to me as the last resort. They come to me seeking help when the problem of obesity has gone to such a point that there is a point of no return. And things like diet, exercise, and even medications like, you know, appetite suppressing medications are not working anymore. So I have seen the deep end, you know, if you want to call it that way. And I know how it all starts. And it starts with you know, the small habits that are then compounding over a period of time, leading to that progressive increase in waistline. And that's how we see ourselves as a society now, where we are caught in the middle of a big obesity epidemic.
Now, your book, Happy Gut, Healthy Weight. So is the key gut health? I mean, we're hearing lots about this in current times. And interestingly, just having a look at your book, the thought that calories in, calories out. So you get a calculator out, what you consume, you need to do more exercise than what you consume. Is it more than just that? Is it about reprogramming your metabolism?
Absolutely, and you nailed it very correctly, Pat. I'm sort of impressed and glad that, you know, the message is getting out there. I believe it was like a labor of love and a lot of intense work that went into this book, because sometimes, you know, for us professionals and medical professionals, it is very hard to dumb things down, because the book has actually been written for a non-academic audience, as in a common person. Because at the end of the day, the whole intention of this, you know, new science, and if you want to use the word new science, and I don't see this as new science, because centuries ago, the father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, in 350 BC, had said that the root of all disease is in the gut. And the contrary, or the corollary to that, is also true, that the seat of all health starts from gut health. And that's how I chose to title my book, Happy Gut, Healthy Weight. And yes, there is new science that is coming on about the gut microbiome, which is basically nothing else but the bacteria that live in your gut and call it home. We live in a very symbiotic relationship with them. And what it leads is these bacteria, the healthy bacteria, are the ones that are responsible for calibrating our metabolism. So you're absolutely spot on that it is all about balancing your metabolism. There's absolutely nothing wrong in having a piece of chocolate cake here and there. No problems. As long as you have it guilt-free and you understand that you justify it by having more of plant-based diet, which feeds the good bacteria.
So do we have listeners right now who their gut is out of balance, they're not doing the right thing, and that's why they can't lose weight? They're trying and trying, but they just can't shed the kilos because the gut health is not being addressed.
Yeah, so Pat, the thing over here is that one of the chapters that I have mentioned is that, you know, in the book is really about how stress is making us fat. That's chapter 3 of my book on in the first section. And the key thing about this is that, see, when we base things on calories in and calories out model, which is outdated, because what that does is it builds with any diet for that matter. And there are so many diets on the planet now that it is insane to even think about it, that we live in an era where there are more diets that have been ever known to mankind. However,
and we're still fat.
And we are the heaviest in our journey of evolution known to mankind.
Wow.
That's a quote that I have mentioned in the book. So coming back to what I was saying, that the whole model of calories in, calories out, and there are several studies to back it up now, leads to development of that subtle stress.
Oh.
Because the body goes into a famine mode.
Right.
Whenever an individual is dieting, famine means the body perceives that, hey, there isn't enough around. There's isn't enough calories or energy sources around for the body to function. And the response, the physiological response of the body is to always keep you safe and comfortable at all times.
And alive.
And alive. Exactly. So what the body does is the body then absorbs and holds on to every calorie that you are consuming.
I see.
Now, when you are sick and tired of the diet, there is a breakthrough thing, and then you go from famine mode, you go into feasting mode, which when the body says, hey, now I'm sick and tired of this diet, I'm just going to go and eat whatever I love.
Yes.
And what then does is, because the body is continuing in that mode, that I don't know when Mr. XYZ is going to decide to start dieting again, I better hold on to these calories that are coming in as well.
Oh.
So what happens eventually is that the famine and the feasting response leads to a progressive gain in the weight over a period of time.
It's like playing a little game with your body. You need to trick your body because it's programmed a certain way. You need to understand how it's reacting to what you're doing. So Christmas time, as we sort of look at the clock here, we've got a few more minutes. Give us some practical things to do. So we're sitting at the Christmas table or we're there. What are we doing to help with gut health and reprogram our metabolism?
Very good question. So I was about to say that, you know, I'm going to give your audience a few hacks. Let's put it this way. You know, you can still go out and party and all that, but understand that everything ultimately needs to be justified. You can't say that I'm going to binge out on donuts and chocolate cakes and pizzas and burgers and still not get fat. Look, that's not going to happen, but there are certain hacks that you can put into place that will really help you slowly, but if practiced on a regular basis, will really help you recalibrate your metabolism, because that's what we really need to focus on. So, number one, understand that whatever you are putting in your mouth is feeding your gut bugs first before it feeds the body. Because what these gut bugs do is they break down the food that we are taking in, and they then use whatever they need, and then they essentially allow the food to go and get absorbed through the intestinal wall. Now, first thing what you can do is, number one, swap the portions of anything that is plant-based, which means salads, you know, fruits or whatever it might be there. And these, mind you, have to be unprocessed. So whatever your audience can have in terms of fresh, unprocessed, have that first. So what that does is it reduces your desire to kind of pig out, if I can use that term, on the other unhealthy things. That's hack number one. If you're having a piece of meat, that's okay, but first have your salad. That's number one.
Right, okay.
Number one. Number two, what I always say is, don't mix solids with liquids. And I get very confused looks every time I tell my patients that, look, don't mix solids with liquids. Why is that? There are a few scientific reasons for that. Whenever you are, say, having a toast with, you know, something healthy on it, along with having a drink to wash everything down, what you're doing is you're not only washing things down from the stomach, hence you start feeling hungry sooner, but more importantly, from a digestive point of view, you are diluting your digestive enzymes. Yeah. Hence, the digestion doesn't take place properly, and what it leads to is a progressive digestive issues that crop up along with food intolerances and things like that.
So are you waking? Are you waiting an hour after eating to drink some liquid?
Yes, exactly. Oh, okay. So at least half an hour to 45 minutes after a meal, have your meal, before your meal, have a glass of water. No problems with that. No issues, okay? Right. Because even before we start eating, the digestive juices are slowly sort of beginning to build up in preparation to receive the food. So at least 15 minutes or up to 15 minutes before having a meal, have a couple of glasses of water, no problems with that. And the third hack, just in the interest of time, and there are plenty of these, you know, practical tips that we provide in the book. The third and the most important thing is have green or warm fluids, green tea or warm fluids. Now, why I say that is after a meal, especially whether it is dinner or, you know, lunchtime, having warm water. Or even, you know, you see, when you go to a Japanese restaurant, the first thing that they give you is warm green tea. Why is that? Any warm fluids are actually going to help improve your digestive process. Mm. We have known this from centuries ago, but now what we get is a chilled or frozen Coke. And what that does is digestion is known as a digestive fire. This fire, when you put chilled water or cold water on it, it suppresses, it gets subdued. Hence, it leads to a lot of digestive issues, which actually suppresses your metabolism. So if you can do this, that you have a cup of green tea or warm water, even if you don't have green tea, after a meal, if you're really thirsty, you really want to have something, that's okay. But have something warm, not cold. Just cancel or delete anything which is chilled after a meal. That's going to hurt you and hurt your metabolism more.
So three hacks there, as you say, a lot more practical tips in your book. Well, we're calling it new science, but interesting, as you say, centuries ago they were onto this, but it's sort of re-emerged front and centre. So Happy Gut, Healthy Weight. Now, we can find this, I guess, online these days. Books can be found online?
Absolutely. So the book is on Amazon, and it's on Book Depository, two main portals where generally people find all the books. Absolutely. And if you want an author signed copy, just contact us and we will be happy to mail out one to you.
Very good. Dr. Aaron Deer joins us here on Australia Overnight. Thank you for your time. That was very interesting. And I appreciate those three tips. It's the perfect time of year to at least test that out. So you have a wonderful Christmas and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Pat. And thank you to your audience as well.